Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Last week, we shared the first part of a message preached on March 23rd, by Reverend Daryl Stettler. Brother Stettler and his wife were here for a week of revival, and we appreciated the good truth that was shared. In this sermon today, Brother Stettler has focused his attention on the cross of Christ. He's drawn from a number of scripture passages, especially from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to break into the message today as Brother Stettler shares an illustration that got him thinking about how we perceive God and what God has done to show His love for us. Here is Reverend Daryl Stettler.
One day my two girls came in the house and they were all excited. They said, "Daddy, Daddy, there's a kitty cat under the utility building." I said, "Is that right?" I went back to doing what I was. "Daddy, come and see." I didn't really need to see a kitty cat under the utility building, but my girls were. You know, my girls just do this to me, you know, just wrap me right around that finger, you know. I hit it out with them. Now, it would have been about like getting down on my hands and knees and looking under that pew. I got down, had to get clear down on my hands and knees, and I looked back on. Now, under that utility building, we had, you know, I filled the utility building with all my stuff. But there was a lot of good space underneath that. A lot of things a guy might need. You know, a wheelbarrow with a broken handle and a lawnmower that didn't run. And, you know, a lot of good things. I had tomato baskets I put down over my tomato plants and I had kind of bent them together and slid them back under the utility building. Back there in those tomato baskets was a little kitty cat about this big. He's kind of caught in that mesh, you know, in that wire. And he was kind of, and he was looking back at me, my girls. I try to think what that cat might have thought as he looked back there at me. Now, you think about this. If something is proportionately bigger than you are, as I was bigger than that cat, and something was looking down there and looking at you, what would you think? I think that cat was thinking something like this. "Oh no, here comes a great big monster of a human being and he's coming after me." Some people think that's what God's like, but He's not. I commented on the cat and was ready to go back in the house and my girl said, "Oh daddy, let's catch him." I said, "Catch him? What do we want to catch him for? We don't have a kitty cat. We've never had a kitty. We need a kitty cat." I've always been a sucker for my daughters. Oh my. They talk me into it. I've never figured out why. But I laid right down on the ground and I began to crawl my way, worm my way, wiggle my way back under the utility building. After a stray cat. My girls were watching. breathlessly watching. Finally, I got close enough that I could catch him. He was in those wires and I'd gotten right over there and I knew I could reach out and grab him. And I thought, what am I doing under here? My girls were watching. Finally, I reached out and I grabbed him by his hind legs and tail. My girl said, "We caught him, we caught him." I thought, yeah, we caught him. I'm the one that's got a hold of this cat. That cat instantly became a ball of fury. I mean, it was reaching back and clawing and scratching at me, and I almost let go, but my girls were watching. So I hung on, and he was trying to get at me and hissing and baring his teeth, and I was holding him at arm's length. Now, you think it's hard to crawl under those pews, going forward both arms and both legs to motivate you. You don't have to get a stray cat. I suggest you wait till everybody's gone to try this. But just get yourself a songbook and go under there in reverse. I began to wiggle my way out from under that utility building. My girls were cheering me on. And that cat was clawing and scratching the whole way. You know why? He thought I was his enemy. Friend, what does God need to do to show you he's not your enemy? I was coming out from under the utility building. I knew this cat was hungry. I could feel his ribs. He was skinny. He was starving. I said to the girls, "Run in the house and get something with some milk in it quick." They were gone and back in a flash. And as I got out from under the utility building, I reached around under the front of that cat and stuck that under his nose. And he just kept hissing and kept clawing. I thought, what do I need to do to show this kitty cat that right under his nose is what he really wants and needs? May I stop and ask you on Sunday morning, what more does God need to do to show you that what you need and really want is right in front of you? I reached up behind that cat and knocked his head into the milk up to about his ears. That cat's head came up and he shook his head, but all of a sudden he licked his lips and he looked down. You ever watched a hungry cat eat? I mean, he began to lap up that milk furiously. I was still hanging on to hind legs and tail. My girls were still breathlessly watching. But you know, as he lapped up that milk, lapped every drop of it, licked around the edges. But as he did, I saw transformation take place. He relaxed. He quit resisting. He quit clawing and scratching at me. He finished and I picked him up, held him in my arms and stroked him a little and handed him to my girls, and they had an instant pet. That's a simple, homely little story. But on Sunday morning, I wish God in heaven could open somebody's eyes who sits here before me today to see in a new way God is not my enemy. He's my friend. He loves me very, very much. Friend, if you'll take that home with you and let that grow in your heart, it'll transform your life because he'll give you what your heart longs for that maybe you don't even realize. The cross stands tall to tell us what God thinks about you. Thirdly, the cross stands tall to tell us that salvation is complete. The sacrifice of God's Son is complete. That is, what that really means is that every human being is provisionally saved. They have to take advantage of it. But the provision is made and the provision is complete. God doesn't have to do one more thing on his part to save every single person. Hallelujah. In fact, we preachers get illustrations and cat stories and all kinds of things to try to illustrate our points. Sometimes we take a little criticism for that, but it's okay. Because you know what? Jesus is the best illustrator there is. In fact, for this point, I want to get my illustration from Jesus. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I read John chapter 3 and verse 14, and this is what it says. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is Jesus talking about? I went back to Numbers 21 in the Old Testament and read the story. You remember how it happened? The children of Israel had sinned against the Lord, and God had brought punishment and judgment upon them and allowed there to be serpents that invaded the camp. We don't know for sure what it was. Some scorpion-like creature, some snake-like creature. We're not sure. But we do know this. If you got bitten by the serpent, you died. It was just that serious. And it was happening everywhere. People were dying. It really didn't matter who you were. You could be somebody important, but if you got bitten, you died. You could be a nobody, but if you got bitten, you died. You could be a rich person with all the money you needed, but if you got bitten, you died. If you could be a poor person, but if you got bitten, you died. You could be old, but if you got bitten, it was over. You could be a child, but if you got bitten, you died. The people, as you can understand, we might understand this just a little bit better after COVID, you know, when all of that hit and everything was kind of spreading rapidly across this country. There was a sense of panic among people. I had people text me because they knew I was a preacher. They wouldn't come to church, but he said, "I'm scared." That's what was happening in the Old Testament. People were dying. They got desperate. They went to Moses. They said, "Moses, we've sinned against the Lord and we're sorry. Will you offer sacrifice for our sin? And will you go to God for us?" As the Old Testament system was, the priest would offer sacrifice. And I imagine in my mind's eye something that very well could have taken place. Moses appoints a day, and he says, "On Tuesday, Aaron will go into the Holy of Holies. He'll offer sacrifice for the sins of the people." That day arrived, and as you can imagine, I don't know, I imagine a terrain similar to right here at Lebanon Church. Maybe the Holy of Holies is situated up here where this church is. And there's a big valley down below. And people begin to gather. I mean, lots of people. They've got a stake in this. People are dying. My loved ones, my children, my mother, my dad. And so a crowd gathers. At the appointed time, Aaron goes into the tabernacle. Goes in to offer sacrifice. I can tell you on that day, the large crowd that was gathered weren't talking about their last hunting expedition. They weren't talking about the weather or the most recent holiday. The subject of conversation was, "Will God have mercy on us? I've lost loved ones. I've got ones that have been bitten and are ready to die. Will God have mercy?" Aaron's there for a while. The tent flap opens and he emerges, and he and Moses confer for a moment. And then Moses stands up, maybe on the pulpit, maybe on a big rock. And he cups his hands to tell the people what God has said. God has spoken. God told me what to do. We're to make a serpent out of brass, like the serpent that bit the people, and put the serpent on a pole. I don't know if you've followed an ambulance lately, but if you followed that emergency vehicle, there's at least a possibility. I've seen one recently. You'll see on the back of that ambulance a pole with a serpent on the pole. It's a thrilling reference to the story I'm imagining in the Old Testament. The serpent on the pole was a symbol of hope. The serpent on the pole of the back of the ambulance is a symbol of hope. It's a biblical reference. And so Moses said, God told me what to do. Make a serpent out of brass. Put it on a pole. Lift the pole in the midst of the camp. And send out this simple message. If you look, you live. I can imagine when that message goes out from Moses, somebody type A personality begins to say, oh, we've got to do something. If that's what God has said, we've got to organize. We've got to do it quickly. People are dying. You work in metal. You go make the serpent out of brass. We need somebody to cut a tree and bring a pole. We need a hole dug. And so you four or five there, dig the hole. And then we're going to need to spread the word. You know, if you were going to spread something from this location to all of Lebanon, it'd take just a little while to make it happen. We would need to, Brother Rob, you're going to head it up and we're going to spread the word. He's doing a good job of doing it, spreading the word. And so we're going to need to spread the word. So they begin to organize, and you'll take that part of town and you'll take that section over there and over here and back this way. And about that time, I see a little lad just about this tall standing on the fringes of all this that's going on. He's been watching and he's been listening. Suddenly he turns, and as fast as his little legs will carry him, he darts through a few tents, and just a short distance away, there's a humble little tent. He bursts through the tent flap and lands on his knees on the ground. And there in the tent is the swollen, feverish form of his mother. He heard God has spoken and told us what to do. He heard the message, you don't have to die. There's hope. You can live. His mother senses his presence and reaches and takes his hand, and it's so hot. She says, son, mama's so sick. Go play with your friends. Mama's so sick. But that little boy has a message. He reaches over and touches her hot cheek and pats it gently and says, Mama, Mama, open your eyes and look at me. God told Moses what to do. Mama, you don't have to die. Her eyes flutter open. She sees that her tears are streaming down his cheeks and the earnestness on his face. He's not playing games here. She said, son, are you sure? Are you sure God told Moses what to do? Mother, I don't understand it, but God told Moses. I heard it myself. God told Moses to make a serpent out of brass like that old serpent that bit you and put it on a pole and lift the pole in the midst of the camp. And mother, they're sending out messengers right now with this message. If you'll look at that serpent, you'll live. You won't die. You say, preacher, was there any merit on a serpent on a pole? Oh, no. You know, the children of Israel themselves, it became a snare to them. Later, they began to worship a serpent on a pole. That wasn't God's intent at all. It was simply saying, God has made provision, and if you will obey God and surrender yourself to His command, you'll live in this circumstance. The mother looks at her son and she said, son, are you sure that's all God said to do? I heard it myself, mother. Son, I don't want to rebel against God. I'll do what God says. I'll go. And she starts to push herself up And then she falls back on her little cot. She said, "But son, I'm so sick, I can't go." There's a look of desperation that crosses his face. And then there's a look of determination that quickly follows. He said, "Mama, you lay right there. I'll get you there." He goes to the foot of that little cot, little piece of rag that she's laying on, and he wraps his little fingers in the material. And he begins to tug her toward the door. He's working hard. She's heavy. He's small. But he's moving her. He's bracing his little legs and he's moving her inch by inch toward the door. And finally he gets his back out and then he gets her legs out and half of her body. And finally he stops and works his fingers a little. He's breathing heavy now. He's not sure he's going to make it. And he gets another grip and he tugs and pulls with all of his might. And she comes out into the noonday sun. She shields her eyes. The sun hurts. The little boy is breathing heavy. He's not sure he's going to make it. He might have to have help, but this is so desperate. And he's on his knees. He's crying profusely now. And he looks off at, in a direction over here. And just between the tents there, he sees the pole. He says, "Mama, you can see it from here. I see it. It's right there between those two poles. Mama, look right over there. I'll shield your eyes from the sun." And he kind of lifts her head a little bit and he says, "Look right over there, God." She's trying to focus her eyes. God said, "Look and I'll do it." She's blinking and suddenly she sees it. She says, "Son, I see it. It's right there. You sure? All God said I had to do was look to live. Mama, that's what God said. I'm looking, son. I'm looking." All of a sudden, I don't know what you think happened, but I believe there was a miracle that took place in that moment. All of a sudden, the fever was gone. All of a sudden, the swelling had disappeared. All of a sudden, there was strength that went into weak limbs. And all of a sudden, she grabs her little son to hug him, and they weep together. And I get to John chapter 3, and on a Sunday morning in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, I'm giving you an illustration with a few imagined details. That Jesus said, "As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Should not perish. Should not perish. Friend, God's message to you in the cross this morning is, you don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to miss heaven. You don't have to go on in the bondage of sin. If you look to Jesus, you'll live. You'll live. There's not another thing God in heaven has to do to save you. All you have to do is come to Him in repentance and turning from your sin and putting your faith in the sacrifice of the sinless Son of God in your place. And you don't have to die. It's no wonder, the songwriter said, 5 bleeding wounds he bears received on Calvary. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. And the last verse says the Father hears that prayer of His dear anointed one. He stands in your place. Calvary says, you can be saved today. There may be someone on Sunday morning who doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. God sent me to Lebanon on a Sunday morning to tell you, God's not your enemy. He's your friend. He loves you very, very much. And if you'll look to Him in faith, He'll save you. Amen.
Condemned to die on the cross for crimes He had done, He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed when he called on his name. When your kingdom comes, remember me. In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done? With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, there are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. Nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. But his glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sins away. And what he did for me that day, the price I know he paid. By his grace, I too can say, forever say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the
That was Alvin Martinez with a song by The Way of the Cross. I so appreciated Brother Stettler's message this morning. My friend, if you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. You can contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Now, next week, we look forward to Easter Sunday, a highlight of the year as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. I want to invite you to join us at 9:30 a.m. as we change our schedule just a bit for this very special day. Again, Easter Sunday, our morning worship service will begin at 9:30 a.m. My friend, we look forward each week to having you join us for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.